gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'd like to start by saying I'm eliminating three agencies at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let's see, there's
Department of Human Resources.
There's the
I keep bringing up my groping.
Departments.
I don't.
What's the other one?
What now?
Oops.
Oh, God, oops. It was more painful than watching George W. Bush try to tell a joke. Oh, God.
Yeah. Saying in Tennessee, one from Texas, probably in Tennessee, too.
Sure.
Oops.
If you're eliminated,
and he punctuated it with
right?
Oops.
Am I always right? He is George W. Bush without the intellect or the humility.
Won't get fooled again.
Mm. Oh,
Chama can't hear me.
Oh, no. Did you Adam see my favorite
515?
Was the way the other candidates were looking at him? Just like, oh.
Bless your heart.
Mm. Oh, golly.
They were all thinking, bless your heart.
You are not a strong debater.
Even Ron Paul looked polished
there's
next
five.
Time.
There's five.
Would you like to hide in my giant
you want
suit?
Some help?
Oh. There's five.
Oh, boy. It's going to be more fun to go mess with Texas this Saturday. The Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah.
Off to Austin, Texas. It's going to be the Rick Perry and Herman Cayman Palooza. At the Long Center in Austin.
You can't help but do better than Rick Perry during this show.
You know what? I have sympathy for him because he is like me as a performer. Better drunk. Better. I'm better when I'm drunk. I really am. All right. We are Mike and Raleigh with a liberal Texas radio.
I want to tell you about Texas liberal radio
and
the big meat and growth. It starts off with a sexy liberal show, slow and languid. And then it moves into something really, really kind of creepy and inappropriate.
Yes.
But, you know, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
People, let me tell you about the sexy. The Austin, Texas sexy. Liberal show. Beautiful singing house parts. Stephanie and jokes about parts. The Austin Stephanie Miller sexy liberal show.
Yay. Oh, thank you, Mike and Raleigh. That was...
And that was based on what group's hit song?
I don't know. Chris and I,
of course you don't
both
know.
Of us don't know.
The Doors.
The Doors! Yes, of course I knew that. All right, Tim feels the same way we do about, voice
meeting. Voice meeting, Jim Ward.
Yes, 3 hours of Jim. Jim, I'm so happy you're back for the whole program. It feels like the Steppy Show is fully powered up again. You're the best. Love you all.
Aw,
we've got the power now.
That's right.
We've got the power. We're fully powered up. We are now with a
full
third
strength.
with a third and more gym. All right. And it's time to get Frisch as well. Carl Frisch, it's Tuesday, everybody. For Thursday. Pardon me, Thursday.
Huh?
What, Carl?
Thursday. Carl Frisch.
You're drunk.
Yes. FlightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Hello, Carl. You're on the Stephanie
Good
Miller
morning.
Show. Welcome to you, sir.
How are you?
Good. I'm. You know what? I thought it was going to be all about Herman Cain last night, and then God bless Rick Perry. you just feel like those are two campaigns that need to be euthanized.
I thought I'd do Herman solid and look really stupid.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm doubting he was behind the Herman Cain thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, unless he did it just so that he could earn your respect.
My respect?
Yeah, well, you know, anybody else's respect. This whole thing could be because of Rick Perry. I mean, it would not be the first time he's put something to death.
he had just executed his own campaign last night.
Exactly.
And by the way, I guess it buried the other big story. So, you know, Jim, Herman Cain, he didn't know that woman. He's never seen her before.
Never seen her before.
Oops, there's a picture of them together.
I might have posed in a picture with her with my arm around her and accidentally getting some side boob.
Yeah, a little bit of side boob in that
by
picture.
The way,
and the reporter.
When you're a crazy right-wing Republican who has been accused now by a new person every week, for the last month about sexual harassment, don't speak in definitives. Do not say, I never, I always.
Yes. Yeah, a little far out there on the ledge now.
It's only going to be a couple of days until we find out the truth.
Yeah. Well, and also this reporter at the Chicago radio station corroborated her story and said, yes, they were engaged in a very intense two- or three-minute conversation a month ago. This woman that he didn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny watching the right wing. I mean, Benji Sarlin from TPM has this great piece out that's called, you know, all the reasons that have absolutely nothing to do with the fact of whether or not Herman Cain sexually harassed these women. You know, and because he's had like 50 different reasons or excuses that this might have happened, and none of them, you know, conflict with the fact that this might have happened.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Whether it's our fault, whether it's some other Republican candidate's fault, whether it's you know, Rick Perry's fault, none of that matters if he did it. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter who came up and let the rest of us know about it.
Yeah, exactly. Carl, great piece on Reality Check. Republican losers did not overreach on what happened on Election Day. You say conventional wisdom pushers in the Beltway chattering class have been scrambling to explain the crushing defeat Republicans just suffered in the 2011 elections. To hear them spin it's because they overreached, the GOP went too far. You say ridiculous. Republicans did not overreach. This is who, you know, what they did is who they are. It's what they stand for. It's what they campaign on.
Yeah, it's in their DNA if Republicans believe in science. You know, this is precisely who they are. I just got so sick on Tuesday night of hearing people saying, oh, this is because Republicans overreached. No, it's not. It's not overreach. Republicans were acting like Republicans.
Well, except I would take one exception. When you with Scott Walker, that is not what he campaigned on. He didn't mention destroying, you know, collective bargaining, did he?
But we should not have been surprised by him.
Right.
These are things that certainly other Republicans have talked about. You know, and after Walker, we had like six or seven other Republican governors around the country talking about the same things. You know, when people, you know, assume that a Republican is really going to be totally different like they say they are, they get surprised by these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just remember, these people are still Republican. It's kind of like feeding a gremlin after midnight, you know.
Yes. Well, you know, Carl, this is what I was thinking, is that, you know, I've been, you know, as you know, every day I'm on the radio and I'm frustrated. I'm like, how come these polls overwhelmingly show people are on our side? Well, this has been the first time that has proved out electorally. Because like, I keep thinking, how can they be so out of step with, you know, the vast majority of people? Well, this is the Exhibit A, as Jim says, an Operation Backlash, right?
Yeah, well, it's certainly brewing out there. I mean, they got their rear ends handed to them. And if you look at the polling that came out after the fact, so, you know, almost two-thirds of the voters voted against, you know, letting Kasich have his way in Ohio. And then the polls came out.
More people than voted
later,
for him, is which I love you point out. Yeah.
By, like, hundreds of thousands of people, too, which is just delicious, you know.
And then the personhood thing in Mississippi, I mean, you know, it really is hard to, you know, underestimate how really extreme that was. I mean, how extreme that
was.
You know.
I mean, Zygotes just did not get out to vote.
No, apparently not.
So,
the whole lack of opposable thumbs, you know, and such. Yeah.
Well, you know, and then they came up with that, like, ID law in Mississippi. So, like, you know, do you know how hard it is to get it out?
Oops.
Your hands and whatnot.
Right.
Let alone when you're incapable of actually getting photos taken.
Yes. yes. Well, I mean, you know, but you point out more than 90 House Republicans have co-sponsored legislation to make personhood the law of the land. So they continue to be out of step, which is why, you know.
Yeah, that's my whole premise, is that these things are not, this is not Crazyville. This is not Republicans being like, oops, did I do that? No, this is what they believe. This is who they are.
Right.
There are dozens more among them. There are tens more among them that are trying to do the exact same thing, if not worse, and we sit here and we're surprised.
Well, and you, that's why you make the leap the party of Lincoln is becoming the party of Jim Crow with, you know, these moves like in Maine to, you know, keep people from voting. And in Maine, they, you know, they got repudiated again, right?
Yeah, I mean, in Maine, well, this is something that's happening all over the country with voter ID laws and all these other things that are designed to keep Democrats and people that might vote Democratic away from the polls. It even happened in Maine where the crazy right-wing Tea Party governor there, Paul LePage, you know, basically pushed through a law that got rid of same-day voter registration, which is something that Maine has had for years,
right?
And in Maine, the citizens have the right to veto something, and wouldn't you know it, if they just, you know, turned around and handed him a big fat defeat.
Yeah, and a victory, as you say, for you know, marriage equality in Iowa, right?
Yeah, I mean, you cannot talk about the Republican platform without getting into gay politics a little bit. Yeah. And nowhere was it more important than Iowa, where there was a special election in the state Senate where the Republicans and, you know, all those right-wing hate groups like NOM and everything else poured big buckets of money into that race, yep. And they got their rear ends handed to them. And Democrats
Yay.
Kept the majority in the Iowa state Senate, and therefore marriage equality is still going to be the law of the land.
Yay! Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Eric Bolling on the 5.
Here's what's going on. It's a systematic taking apart of a conservative right by the left. It was first it was Palin when it looked like she was going to go with the emails. Mm. Then it was Bachman, the headaches. Then it was Perry, he's smoking or drinking or whatever the heck. And now Herman Cain, he attacks women. My hunch is this, you know, the left-wing nut jobs at Media Matters and all the other lefty sure. blogs, along with maybe the
Here
Democratic machine.
What?
Yeah, that.
Yes, for making it all up.
Those scamps, they took Rick Perry out and got him liquored up, and then
they
also
photoshopped Herman Cain grabbing some women.
Does
sure.
Does it occur to them that all of these attacks might be coming from their Republican opponents?
Or that they're you know, alleged to have happened 15 years before Media Matters even friggin' existed.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, and how does Herman Cain, by the way, Carl, get away with this? Sharon Bialik comes out, who is a registered Republican Tea Party member, and he comes out and says, "Oh, this is the Democrat machine." Like what?
Well, when you're used to only talking to Fox News, your assumption is always no one's going to challenge me.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No one's going to say otherwise.
Exactly.
So you know, how does he do it? He just does it.
Well, I think that comes.
He's there to say otherwise.
Also, the way he's handling it, it comes from being a CEO. No one challenges. Mm-hmm. He thinks he can like shush reporters. It's like because he says so. Yeah. All right. Carl Fish remains in the sidecar. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with Right Wing World in a moment. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You love your girl. Sugar and spice. And everything that she thinks.
Yeah, it's Shebang. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Carl Frisch in the sidecar from Bullfight Strategies for Right Wing World. Mary Madeline.
Oh.
It's just so strange how she will not stick up for her sisters now.
We did go through this period of this grievance industry for feminists who want to be offended, find a way to be offended. And there's not a lot of charges other than that one that he flatly denies. That even comes close to being assault or harassment.
It's amazing. Every single woman that accuses a conservative is a lying slut, Carl.
Yep.
Well, it's not only that, but if they do believe it, you know, if they don't give Herman Cain a pass, they try and downplay the fact that this is sexual harassment to begin with, or that there's ever sexual harassment. I mean, you've got right wingers all over the place who have basically been saying there's no such thing as sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And this just goes back to their fundamental belief that a woman's place is in the home and not in the workplace.
Yeah, if a woman doesn't want to do a face plant in your crotch, you know, she's being hysterical, clearly.
Yeah.
And oversensitive.
She's obviously never worked in gymnastics, that's for sure.
Yeah, hello. Okay, Tucker Carlson on a red eye.
He's not qualified to be president.
Herman
We're
Cain.
All pretending that he is. He's a nice guy. I know him. I like him. I think he's a great guy. He'd be a much better president than the current president. But he can't explain his own economic plan.
But isn't that all we need?
No, but come on.
Isn't that all we need? Somebody better than Obama?
Yeah, but presumably there are people much better than Obama, okay? No. We all have to sit and pretend like, oh, Herman Cain would be a great president. The truth is, he'd be a great a lot of things,
but
he's not qualified to be president. And we've had to pretend that he is. And I wish we could just stop and acknowledge this is a really serious election.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crummy selection, perhaps. But there's got to be someone who understands the issues better than Herman Cain.
Oh, my God. That's the bar we've hit, Carl. Isn't that all we need? Just anybody?
Well, you know,
that's better than
speaking of crotches, Tucker Carlson, I mean, that could be exactly what it takes for him to get pushed off of Fox News. I mean, he's been fired by every other outlet. He's got to do something to get fired off of Fox, and he can make room for Herman Cain because, you know, it, all this time it's looked like Herman Cain was just angling for a job with Fox News to begin with.
There you go. All right, Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends. Oh, here's the fake. Is the war on Christmas started already?
Yeah.
Just in time for the holidays, the Obama administration adding a Christmas tree tax. Well,
oh,
the government.
No.
Grinching 15 cents out of your pocket, potentially, on the sale of all fresh Christmas trees.
Yo, idiot. That was begun under the Bush administration, and Obama just got rid of it yesterday.
Yeah, the proposal to create an assessment on tree...
getting rid of it. He caused it.
On tree grows to fund a research and promotion program began during the Bush administration.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's the Christmas tree tax. I'm sorry,
the real deception of the Obama years is that, you know, we've slowly changed the pronunciation of George W. Bush to Barack Obama.
Yeah. Why, Gretchen Carlson.
You know, he's responsible for everything.
My little tot, there's a light broken on your right-wing talking point. I'm going to take it up to my shop and fix it up there and then bring it back here. All right, Rush Limbaugh on the Christmas tree tax as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Obama has called off the Christmas tree tax. Just happened. I speak and he moves. And it's over with. I don't know if you people realize this.
Yeah.
This is precedent setting. We have found a tax that Obama doesn't like because it might help Christmas.
Oh,
and all of a sudden you have a Christmas tree tax that promotes Christmas trees and so forth. It sounds too much like a Christian outreach program. Can't have that.
What the hell is he talking about?
Some people in the right wing, they were using this as a way to say that he hates Christians.
Yeah.
Yes, one right-wing blogger said it illustrates Barack Obama hates Christians.
By repealing the tax.
Yes.
That George W. Bush
put in.
What the
hell?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like Rush Limbaugh's been caught in one too many chimneys.
All right, we finished with Sean Hannity.
Obama owns the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Uh-huh.
As part of that movement, there has been a ton of anti-Semitism expressed at these rallies and events. I mean, this
ton.
You sound like skinhead Nazi psychos.
Right.
But there are a lot of people in this movement that keep expressing these views.
Mm. Skinhead Nazi psychos. That's a new one for hyperbole for Occupy Wall Street.
I'm sorry. Was he describing the morning lineup at Fox News?
Yeah. Yada, 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 yada. All right. Carl Frisch, delightful as always. From bullfightstrategies.com.
And carlfrisch.com.
And carlfrisch.com, don't forget. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, honey. There he goes. It's Frisch. All right, we will be back with the Rick Perry crunchy audio goodness.
Oh, you know, bless your heart.
Bless his heart. Pour yourself an extra cup of coffee. Pull the hammock off. This will take a while. This is 52 seconds of cringe.
Oh.
All right.
And we'll cringe with David Bender.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
taught me how to win.
Stephanie Miller
taught me how to dream. What are your dreams?
When I grow up, I'm going to do vending machine maintenance. I'm going to be a talkative doorman with a drinking problem.
That's right. You shoot for the stars.
A talkative doorman with a drinking problem.
Their dreams come true on a Stephanie Miller show. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Don't you miss New York now?
Oh, yeah. Boy, don't I ever.
Did you have a talkative doorman with a drinking problem?
I didn't have a doorman.
Well, you're the one with the drinking problem. But
oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You were the door woman.
I just talked to the door. Yeah. It was very lonely in New York. All right. Okay, we've been waiting for it. It's the crunchy Rick Perry audio goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
Okay. So, commerce, education, and the,
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Talking about
it? No, sir. We're talking about the agencies of government. The EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government,
yeah.
I would do away with the education, the commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
Oops.
Wow. If they hook up a monitor to his brain, it would be flatlined.
Just
no activity at all.
Wow.
Wow.
That was
going on.
Spectacular. Nicely done. That should be maybe his slogan from now on, Rick Perry. Oops.
Actually, the worst thing about Rick Perry, Matt Taibbi talked about in Rolling Stone recently, he's got a crony who's got this nuclear waste disposal facility in West Texas, right near the Oglala Aquifer, which supplies drinking water to seven states, and they're putting nuclear waste in unlined pits.
What could go wrong there?
Oh,
wow, that is
That's why he wants to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, right. That was so reminiscent of the George W. Bush joke, wasn't it? It was just, oh, my God, and the saddest thing is everyone trying to help him. Trying to help a drowning man. This? No.
Is this
that?
This one?
No. Water weenie? No? Okay.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. No. I know it's infectious probably in Tennessee.
Sure.
That says, fool me once.
All right.
Shame on.
Dial tone.
Shame on you.
Oh.
If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Oh, no.
Charlie,
oh,
can you hear me?
Oh, no.
5:15.
You know, it's what I always said about George Bush. And parents understand what I mean. It's watching your kid in that Thanksgiving play that's just awful, and you're like, oh, please get through this monologue before that set falls on you. And no, okay. Oh. I mean, we were against George Bush politically. I still, when he finished the sentence, you were just like, thank God. Oh, God, thank God for America. Oh, okay. He got to the end of it without choking. Oh. I thought someone was going to put a pencil on my Perry's tongue. Are you okay? Here. All right. Let's find out what our Benji thinks. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay,
David Bender.
Hello, David Bender.
Please. It's Weekdays with Wood.
Yeah.
Yay.
Welcome back, Jim. This is and what a great moment to be back, because frankly, we need your voice, Jim. We need your voice in this Republican debate, because we just lost one. It's gone. It's over. Stick a fork in Rick Perry. Now, I want to say,
you think?
Absolutely. This is, you know, and you will recall that I said, and I believed, because he could raise the money, that this would be the guy around whom the Tea Party Republicans, that whole wing that, you know, that's 65-70% of the Republican Party that doesn't trust or like Mitt Romney, needed somebody.
Right.
And it looked like Rick Perry would be that guy until he literally, no, I'm sorry, figuratively, set himself on fire. He is Tunisia.
He is a flame as we speak, yeah.
It is painful and pitiful to watch, but it is over. In fact, one of his key donors said it's time for him to come back and be governor of Texas again, so I guess he can drink the water out of that aquifer, and which may be what he's been doing. That may explain.
Yeah.
But this is
just when you thought nothing was more embarrassing than the drunken speech. You're like, oh boy, he appears sober too.
we're going to read these stories months and years to come, and I think someone is going to say, well, poor Rick Perry, he had the back surgery 4 months ago. He's been taking pain medication. It's going to be, you know, it's going to turn out that there's a reason his brain has melted down, because this was absolutely unbelievable.
The backbone's connected to the brain bone.
Yeah, well, as you know, Lunesta was eating my brain, but at least I'm not running for anything.
And you had the good sense to say, not so much.
And frankly, it's my job to ramble incoherently. So
for 3 hours.
Yes.
Which, according to most Republicans, makes you more qualified to be president than Barack Obama.
I don't think Tunisia is good enough. We need Freenesia.
See, I sympathize with Rick Perry because I am him, drunk most of the time and flailing for references that Chris and Jim have to help me with.
We don't need Tunisia. We need amnesia.
Yeah.
Well, and here's what's important to note is that what happened last night was not Ron Paul tried to throw him a lifeline, said there are five agencies, he still, you know,
and that just confused him more.
I know, it was like the smart kid trying to help the dumb kid on. The dumb kid's too dumb to even get the
dumb kid couldn't even crib the notes from anyone else. But here's what happened. Here's what really happened. John Harwood, you just played the audio. John Harwood said, "Wait a minute, Governor. you really can't name the third one. He took the knife, plunged it in.
Yeah.
And if you remember how this has been going, this is really important here. Newt Gingrich has been going after every single one, including Fox,
frankly,
all of the media for every question. And the audience cheers when Newt takes on the media. It's Sarah Palin's old strategy. And who is now the number two contender? As Rick Perry falls away, as Herman Cain falls away, look at these poll numbers. Newt Gingrich is creeping up. He's now in double digits in Iowa.
With a bullet, frankly.
That is sad. That is it's the saddest to testament to this party I've heard yet.
And he's going to do it by running against the media. It's a time-honored Republican strategy,
well,
but he's using it.
When you can eclipse the Herman Cain story, you got to give it to Rick Perry. We thought that was what was going to be the fisticuffs last night,
yep.
Right? And that was like not much of a...
Did you see that Rick Perry is now fundraising on his gaffe last night?
No.
Yes, he sent an email out this morning that says, just goes to show there are two damn many agencies.
That's
how
point.
We spin
it. It was a performance piece.
I can't remember.
It's the government's fault. The government.
Yeah.
Too many agencies can't do it. Not going to do it. And then you turn into Ross Perot.
David, you've been a campaign, advisor, and I've got to ask you what point we're at in this Herman Cain thing. So he obviously went so far out on the ledge. Never met her. Have never seen her before. So now, of course, a picture has surfaced from a month ago, and a reporter has backed up her story that they had, as she describes it, a very intense 2 or 3 minute conversation.
This is that moment where I dreaded ever having to say these words. I agree with Tucker Carlson. It's over for Herman Cain. He doesn't know it, and he'll stick for a while. He'll try, but there is no campaign structure. Remember, he's running basically on the Americans for Prosperity team. He's the Koch brothers' brother from another mother. He says so himself. Mm-hmm. That's his campaign field operation, which means when he gets to Iowa, which is entirely based on a field operation, he won't have any ground troops. They're gone.
Yeah.
And if they were ever, sort of mobilizing, they can't now. There's nothing, there's no there. So it's just him and a microphone.
And I think the Tea Party guy, the head of Judson Phillips, he basically said yesterday, how did he put this? He said, if Cain can't manage his own campaign, how's he going to do with the country, concluding it's time for him to leave the race?
Right. Well, it is always difficult. Look, people like Lawrence O'Donnell, who we all respect, said that Tim Pawlenty was going to be the inevitable Republican nominee. Matter of fact, I think he's having him on the show tonight. I said I thought Rick Perry had the legs for this. It is very hard to tell. People wrote John McCain off when he was down to himself and one person flying around the country,
right,
and he wound up winning the nomination. It is hard to see these things.
Well,
Newt Gingrich right now is poised to do what McCain did 4 years ago,
come out of
oblivion and bankruptcy.
God. Now, regarding the timing on Cain, though, Time magazine, of course, reporting that the accusers are going to hold a joint press conference. Have you heard any word on when that's going to be?
I have not heard. Yeah. I saw that it is happening, it may be a reality show, maybe like the X Factor. We get to vote on who the hottest accuser is. Actually, and Herman Cain will wind up hosting it.
Yeah, you sent me the audio of Rush cheating on me. I can't believe he called her a babe.
Yeah,
he did.
the last accuser. I mean, really?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't believe Rush has abandoned you like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's first
bastard.
This and then Christmas. I
Stephanie
mean,
Miller, who is a babe on some days.
We still don't know what that means.
On some days. Tuesdays,
that must have been my off day that he decided to call Sharon Bialik.
On days when I've taken my OxyContin.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a babe.
Oh boy. Anyway,
that may be what Rick Perry and Rush Limbaugh have in common.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
He's been getting into his stash.
Yeah. Exactly.
Rush gave him some stash. I'm not sure what it was, but man, it's awesome.
David, you have to wonder, having been on the inside of these campaigns for so long, what was that meeting like? Where Herman Cain just decided to go out and double down and say, I have never behaved inappropriately with anyone ever, and I've never seen this woman.
The meeting was like this. He went in and said to smoking guy.
Yes, creepy smoking guy.
This is what I'm going to do. Uh-huh. I'm just going to say it. There is no there. There's no his. Remember when Bill Clinton went through all of this? Hillary was right there. And what is most telling is that none of us have ever seen, she canceled her appearance on Fox News. None of us have ever seen Herman Cain's wife. He is flying solo. And smoking guy is just happy to have a job.
Yeah. Well, and he contradicted himself, didn't he, in the same sentence on the lie detector test? He said, of course I would. I don't see any reason why I should.
Yeah.
What?
Huh? It's that sort of fifth grade thing, you know. Yeah, I will, but don't make me.
You can't make me.
You can't.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, I can. No, I can't.
All right.
It is just so much fun.
Yeah. I have to say, this has been the best field ever for comedy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Long may they run.
Yeah, exactly. All right, David Bender, our Bendy, our pal. See you next week, honey.
Love you all.
Love you. Bye, Bendy. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Full Strength. Now, with more Jim Ward on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see the sign. Please don't feed the mooks. I'm feeding Jim.
Uh-oh.
That's how I lured him back for 3 hours.
Leftover barbecue.
That and, you know,
jobs.
Stephen,
yeah. Well, yeah,
51
sure.
minutes. I've been promising those for years. 51 minutes to the hour.
7.5 years and counting.
Yeah, and Janiqua finally gave permission?
Yeah. He's the Herman Cain of the show. He's been resting it gently on my shoulder for years now. I'm just like, Jim, thanks. I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear God, breaking sexy liberal news from Roland, sexy liberal tour director.
Uh-oh.
This is big, 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 big. Fort Lauderdale, December 10th, has been sold out since mm-hmm. whenever.
Yep.
The venue gets, as part of our rental deal, 40 tickets to hold back until day of show. There is such fan demand, they are releasing them online at 10 a.m. at BrowardCenter.org.
Whoa.
That is in, oh, dear God, like 9 minutes, ladies and
gentlemen. Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
Uh-huh. What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot? When do you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe, Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
Yeah. Tickets are available at BrowardCenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, yeah, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Ooh, and I've heard one, maybe two celebrity, surprise celebrity guests.
Really?
There.
What?
Yes.
Charlie Crist?
Stop it. I just have to read this sexy liberal one because it says, squee, clap, clap, clap.
Squee?
It's just it's a mm-hmm. cute subject line.
Aww.
Squee, as in squeal, like a, you know, ew. Judy, y'all are coming to Texas. I'm so gall-derned excited I can barely stand it. That's this Saturday.
Yep.
Hurry, sexyliberal.com for tickets to the Long Center this Saturday for sexy. My husband and I from Dallas to Austin this Saturday. Y'all other sexy Dallas liberals honk and wave at the orange Honda Element with the hot redhead and the wheel. The Hubs has already been instructed to wear his Oregon State t-shirt with a big beaver on the front. He has also been instructed the proper response to, hey, nice beavers. Thanks, I just had it stuffed.
That's
thank
right.
Mm-hmm. He has also been warned I will be embarrassing him with my nerdy, over-the-top Steph love and certain slobbering and blushing that will occur at the meet and grow up after the show. However, to quell his fears, I've also informed him I will be taking out my Hal and John lust on him at the hotel later that night.
Ah.
He's totally on board. Big love
lucky
from Texas.
Man.
See, this is the side. This is the side benefit. Telling you, all those horny liberal gals. Just giving it up for their husbands after getting all revved up by Hal and John.
Oh, boy. So they're the fluffers.
Hal and John are the fluffers. Yeah, Hal and John are the fluffers. for men everywhere, and they're happy to do it. Happy to do it. Fine Americans. All right. You know what? Oh, can I tell you what a 6 degrees of step love fest? This whole sexy liberal thing has become. I told you, Von Seal from Asheville will be there.
Right.
We're having dinner with her sister and her awesome best friend, Liv, in Austin. My friend Kay, who was on my bike trip in France, is driving down from Dallas. Tim from Dallas, listener Tim, who we all know.
That's right.
Who sends us such awesome, funny things.
Yep.
He picked up some sexy liberal strange.
That's right.
They're driving together from Dallas.
Wow.
It's just, I'm just saying, it's a whole thing. It's a total.
That's 3.5 hour drive.
Yes.
Wow.
6 degrees of step.
Yeah, I'll have to make a lot of stops.
Let's
get warmed up.
Let's go to Carolyn in Sacramento on Rick Perry. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Excuse me. I just think that Rick Perry should have done a, like a Sarah Palin and written this stuff on his hand.
Exactly. Exactly. Actually, Julie has another comparison with Rick Perry. Hey, Julie in Chicago.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Hi. So this is what occurred to me, that really Rick Perry is just a really lost pageant contestant. And it reminded me of the poor little gal from, I think, South Carolina a couple
Miss
of years
Teen
ago.
Miss Teen South Carolina. Oh,
yeah. Geography question.
He is. He's Mr. He's Mr. Teen Texas.
Yeah, U.S. Americans.
Is, you know, just kind of repeat the question over and over and then not really have an answer in the end.
God,
so,
I'm just...
used to play those clips back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
there
that's
you go.
Brilliant.
Contrast and compare. Thank you,
U.S.
Julie.
Americans don't have access to maps.
Also,
and also, too.
What a tragic loss to comedy, Jim, that we will not see Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, and Rick Perry debating history.
Wow.
And other things. Just, oh, boy. That would have been made my life. Jean in Minneapolis. Hi, Jean.
Good morning, Steph.
Hello.
I
don't mean to question your freshness when I say hi, Jean. I literally said it was a salutation. I apologize.
I wish I could tell you you're the first one to come up with that.
You know.
This Rick Perry thing, I struggle so much with the hypocrisy of Republicans. There's sort of two areas that they always seem to keep coming back to. One is trying to control other people's sexuality when theirs is out of control. And the other one is hollering at people about taking personal responsibility for everything, including things they couldn't possibly control, like the, you know, economy. And yet,
Your house is underwater, stupid.
If you're not rich, blame yourself. It's your own damn fault.
It's your fault for living in New Orleans. And I work with somebody like this. Everything is that person's personal responsibility. But when they do something like Rick Perry stumbling on the 7 units of short-term memory and he's only got 2, then it's the government's fault?
Yeah. I know. And look at Herman Cain. It's the Democrat machine. It's Rick Perry's campaign. It's these, you know, gold-digging, troubled women.
He's not blaming himself.
No.
That's right.
No, exactly.
Everyone else has to.
Here it is, the most awkward 52 seconds in politics.
And I will tell you, it's 3 agencies of government when I get there that are gone.
Okay.
Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Commerce already gone.
Oh, 5. Okay. So, commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's stop getting it.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. The EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
you
no
can't,
doubt about
but
that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry.
Someone say, oh my, there in the background.
Oh, yeah.
it's the MP3, the XYZ.
That's a version of my mother's, oh dear.
Yeah.
The LSD.
Oops.
Oh, oops.
Oops.
The OOPS.
Rick Perry, 2011. Oops. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice of deity Jim Ward. Back for all 3 hours of the show. Yay! SexyLiberal.com for Sexy Liberal tickets. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Oh, my goodness. 6 minutes ago, Fort Lauderdale, which has been sold out since for quite a while, the venue held back 40 tickets. They just went on sale 6 minutes ago at BrowardCenter.org. Get it. Get it. They've maybe gone already, but good luck. Try. Okay. Ken in Madison writes, Steph, Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal. I thought I would enlighten my semi-right-wing brother with a pair of tickets to your Fort Lauderdale show, which he gave him. The only thing better than turning the light of reality on for him would be me actually going to the show. Guess I'll have to wait till you get back to Madison. Oh, that's coming.
Next year.
Yes.
2012.
Yeah, April 14th. Good luck. Get those two. Chris, Jim, Hal, John, Aisha, Charlie, you're all wonderful in a sometimes creepy, comical way. Ken in Madison. Creepy.
Huh.
What does he mean by that?
Creepy?
As I turn to you, screen camera, and do creepy Herman Cain smile. All right.
I never met her. Mm-hmm. I don't know who she is.
All right. Tickets going fast for Austin this Saturday and upcoming shows. Get it now. Mm-hmm. Go check out the upcoming dates. With this book, I was really fascinated to hear about. I don't know if you've heard that the president takes 10 letters every night. And by the way, if you've seen me read my hate mail and my, you guys don't screen letters. Things when they come to me.
Oh, we get some of the shrapnel.
Yes, well, but he takes 10 letters from every, you know, whatever, you know, love letters, hate letters, whatever, every night and reads them. Mm-hmm. And there is a new book called 10 Letters, The Stories Americans Tell Their President. And I thought this was fascinating. Eli Saslow is the author. He joins us now. Hey, Eli, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I know you're a super fancy rising star at the Washington Post and all.
I'm not sure that's the case, but I appreciate you saying so anyway. Maybe that makes it true.
Well, I know you obviously covered the 2008 campaign. You've chronicled the president's life inside the White House. So this was your idea, obviously. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, I'd been covering him for a while and trying to find ways to write about sort of the more, I guess, personal kind of intimate moments of a presidency. And you know, it didn't take me long to figure out that those really barely exist. You know, his days are just so controlled in terms of the way they're scheduled and in terms of security concerns. But really, one of the few things that he still has that is unvetted and that is direct are these 10 letters that come into him every night. They're a sampling of the 20,000 that come into the White House. And like you said, it's hate mail. Sometimes they're fan letters. A lot of the time it's just people writing in these pretty searing personal ways about the things that are going on in their lives. And he always reads these 10 and writes back to one or two of these letters every night.
Wow. This is what you say. Every night at 8 o'clock he gets a folder, and they totally are unvetted, 10 pieces of unvetted correspondence. How do they pick which ones they give them?
It's an army. I mean, it's basically so White House used to be handled – mail used to be handled inside the White House before the anthrax scare, and then they decided to move it off-site to this sort of secret office building downtown where on the ninth floor, 1,500 volunteers read through this deluge of mail. Every letter has to be read so that they can check for threats, and they categorize it by, you know, okay, today 60% of the mail was positive, 40% negative, you know, 20% of the mail was about Occupy Wall Street, 30% was about the economy, and based on all these metrics, they make sure that the letters that they're giving to the president sort of represent what's coming in. So, you know, they don't call these letter writers, they don't check their stories, and they just pass these letters then onto the Oval.
Right. So all ages, walks of life, political points of view. I love that you read many letters addressed "Dear Jackass" as "Dear Mr. President."
Yeah, and I think the number of those has increased. I mean, you know, when the president first decided to do this, it was his second day in office, and you know, I think it seemed like a great idea because there were a lot of post-inaugural congratulatory notes and things like that. And of course, as time's gone on and you know, things in the country have been hard for a lot of people, you know, that it's shifted so that there certainly is more emotion. And yeah, "Dear Jackass," and also "Dear several things that I couldn't put in the book and wouldn't say here."
Right. Now, so, but you also, it's through the lens of the ones he's responded to. Tell us the ones that either, you know, touched you or moved you, made you laugh, or what were your favorites?
Yeah, you know, some of these letters, honestly, are fairly transformative for him and certainly for the people who write to him and then receive these handwritten results. The one that probably had the biggest impact was this note from a cleaning woman in Ohio named Natoma Canfield, who wrote that she'd given up her health care insurance because she couldn't afford to pay it anymore, and 2 weeks after she gave it up, she was diagnosed with leukemia and given a 35% chance to live. And you know, the president ended up coming to her hometown and giving a major speech where, you know, this woman's sister introduced him, and her family went to the White House for the bill signing ceremony, and Natoma and the president actually sort of exchanged letters several times while Natoma was going to chemo and fighting tooth and nail for her life, and you know, President Obama was trying to pass this major piece of reform, largely based on her letter, kind of using that as his rallying call. Others are you know, laugh out loud hilarious in terms of, you know, a group of kindergartners all getting to write one question to him, including, you know, do you live next to a volcano, kind of confusing all these parts of his biography. You know, there are also some, one of the letters in the book is from a Tea Partier in Plano, Texas, who wrote this angry email late at night, and 2 weeks later received back this like two-page handwritten response, and
he
did not believe it was real. So he spent 2 weeks on the internet looking at handwriting samples of the president's handwriting and comparing it to his note, and noticing smudge patterns from a left-handed writer. You know, and not until finally the White House called to ask if he'd received this letter did he believe that the president had actually sent it.
Wow. They think it's a prank call. All right, Clem, cut it out. It ain't funny.
Right, exactly.
I want to see the original letter.
Yeah, right.
This is a copy.
It's right. Not the writing on his birth certificate from Kenya. All right. Now, so what about, you say, like, sometimes, you know, when the president writes back, I'm sure there's he's responding to all sorts of things. Like you say, he'll respond to someone that's angry, but also someone that's complimentary.
Sure, yeah, to all kinds. I mean, you know, and sometimes these responses sort of end up turning the people who wrote to the president in the first place into these kind of, you know, minor public figures. Another of the letters that was impactful for him was from this fourth grade girl in Covington, Kentucky. She lives in a housing project there and attends one of the worst schools in the worst school district. In one of the worst states for education, and just sort of write to describe like this daily train wreck that she went to. And after she received back this handwritten note from the president, and some people in the school district heard about it, suddenly she was giving these speeches to teachers at the school. And
wow.
This new superintendent was having her in on meetings as they were trying to figure out sort of how to rescue this district. So it's you know, these responses, as you can imagine, people write these letters to the president, and I think most of the time, you know, people certainly don't expect that he's going to read them. So there are these very personal, almost,
right? They're
like
just venting
entries.
Sometimes,
yeah,
maybe
they,
even
yeah,
right?
Exactly, venting or you know, whatever it is, and then to receive back this very direct, you know, these notes the president sends back are on. They're always on this white stationery that's embossed with the presidential seal, and you know, they're. You know, they transform some of these people's lives who get them back. Sometimes also, you know, another woman who wrote to him was going through bankruptcy and had written to him to sort of detail her financial circumstances. She received back one of these handwritten notes where the president had promised, you know, things will get better. The way they did eventually get better in this woman's case is she sold the note to an autograph dealer for $10,000.
Wow.
To pay off her debts.
Have I ever heard a rumor, Eli, that the president has actually sent money to some people?
He has. Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that was surprising in talking to him about the mail was that, you know, it sometimes can make him feel powerless. I mean, it's a very humbling daily wave of sometimes desperation or struggles or what people are going through. And you know, what he said to me was that the act of governing can be so slow that sometimes he feels like the only way he can help some of these people is by either making a quick phone call or sometimes sending a quick personal check. You know,
God, Eli, I think you're about to get a letter from the president. Thanks for mentioning that. I've got 17,000 letters asking for money now.
Right, exactly. The salary is going to go pretty quickly, I think.
But, I mean, I have to say, Eli, I mean, I'm a, you know, partisan. I'm a big Obama fan, you know, and I unapologetically so. But, I you know, it is interesting. You hear these stories or even just see sometimes pictures or see him on camera. And, you know, despite the fact that he certainly isn't perfect, like any of us, he really strikes me as a guy that really does care.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, with writing checks, that to me it kind of cuts both ways. I mean, on one hand, I think it's obviously, I think everybody in the country would want a president who's empathetic enough to feel things that way and to care. On the other hand, you know, it's sort of this, grim statement of government gridlock that the most powerful politician in the world sometimes feels like his only recourse is to respond in this sort of quick way that you or I might by writing a check and sending it off to Kansas or whatever.
Yes, it's more socialism, I'm sure, according to Fox News.
Right, exactly. It's I think, you know, the president is criticized a lot for not being empathetic enough. And sometimes, you know, visually in those sort of, you know, handshake line situations, it's not always his greatest strength to show it. But he's a writer at heart, and he kept a journal for a long time, and I think he connects to the written word in this really tactile way, and certainly these stories are a place where he does feel it. And, you know, whether it's sharing these letters with his staff or sometimes reading them aloud to his wife, I mean, they've become sort of a daily staple of his presidency.
Unbelievable. I've heard the book is just so poignant and great, and what a great idea. 10 letters, the stories Americans tell their president. Eli Saslow, thanks so much. I was so happy we were able to get you on. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate you guys having me. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. Thank you, Eli. All righty.
And he's friendly, too.
Well, I'm hosting it, so I don't know how much I'll enjoy the rest of it, but thank you for that.
Someone in the chat room said, "Dear Mr. President, those shoes with that suit, signed Marcus Bachman."
I was thinking, as you know, sometimes I reach back to people that write me hate letters.
Right.
Like in the instance of Sock.
Yeah.
The grown man named Sock that sent me the death threat when I was on Fox News. Well, it was actually more of an offer. He offered to shove an AK-47 up my glory hole.
Yeah.
And send me into eternity.
Typical corporatist.
He got a jingle out of it.
Sock. That Sock. It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven.
Yep.
A special friend who's got an AK-47.
Yikes.
He's a retired insurance man with way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock. It's time for Sock.
Yes! He helpfully included his phone number, so we called.
We called.
Which the FBI told us was considered unwise in law enforcement terms.
But he's outsourcing the jobs to Russia.
Didn't the FBI actually say to you, tell her not to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Please tell her.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's what I said to him when I called him. I said, what kind of American wants to shove a Russian-made rifle up my glory hole?
I'm glad I got someone at the FBI who is actually a fan of the show.
Yeah, that's funny. Tell
him
about
you.
That. Yeah. Okay. That's funny. No. All right.
Colonel Flagg from MASH.
19 minutes after.
Myself in a constant state of confusion.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Clearly not a very well-run operation.
What?
Why? Roland, tour director, we haven't announced Madison yet. I don't.
Well, then why is it on the website?
I can't keep track of. I'm blowing our announcements left and right.
It's on the website.
He writes up, we haven't officially announced Madison.
Oh,
sorry. And people are very tentative there. So you should mention tickets are on sale at BarrymoreLive.com. It's our big one-year anniversary show. It's where it all began.
So tickets are on sale. We just haven't announced it yet.
Well, I guess I have now.
All right.
Inadvertently, because I am drunk.
Well.
Yes. I apologize.
You've gotten the Rick Perry's pain medication.
Sorry.
I kind of
there are three cities that are not on sale yet, and they're
there's
I shouldn't have mentioned them, and I did.
The EPA. No, wait.
Stephanie and Madison, by the way, right, speaking for all Wisconsinites today, we're feeling super about the elections. Thanks for asking. America voted against the Republican overreaching hateful agendas. Oh, and P.S. Mama, the sexy liberal show Madison's on April 14th, not the 4th. Oh, boy.
I
must have gotten that wrong.
Did I mess up on your sheet?
We hope to see the wanker recalled by them. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Did you?
I don't know. Was that my fault?
No, it was probably my screw-up.
Okay.
No, it's mine. It was my screw-up.
Okay.
Yeah. I also inadvertently announced the Minneapolis today, which I didn't realize was announced yet either. Let's see. Nice writes, "Hi, Mom. I just purchased tickets for Sexy Liberal in Minnesota 20 minutes ago. So excited to see you, Hal and John, in May." Oh, May. Okay.
May's a beautiful time in Minneapolis.
Oh, absolutely. May 12th. Mm-hmm. Who knew? And Chicago has exploded. The box office there has officially exploded.
Uh-oh.
So I would hurry for the March 3rd show. That has been announced.
Yes, it has.
So, there. Dan writes, "Chicago Mama, just want to let you know I got my Sexy Liberal tickets for next March in Chicago. Can't wait to meet and grow up you all as well. I missed the last one. Was not going to miss this one. Love you. I'll be bringing a box wine and a flask. I'll be fourth row if you need some. And if there's any guide, I will."
No, that's you.
Oh, yes, indeed. All right. So it's all on sexyliberal.com. And I apologize if I buried my own lead several times.
Oh, dear.
All right. Herman Cain yesterday. I damn you, Rick Perry. I thought this was going to be all about poking Herman Cain and watching him go berserk over the, you know, unpleasantness. There is Maria Bartiromo last night.
"In recent days, we have learned that four different women have accused you of inappropriate behavior.
Oh, dear.
Here we're focusing on character and on judgment. You've been a CEO."
"Yes."
"How dare you ask
You know
questions.
That shareholders are reluctant to hire a CEO where there are character issues.
True. True.
Why should the American people hire a president if they feel there are character issues?"
"The American people deserve better than someone being tried in a court of public opinion based on unfounded accusations. That's what that's about.
Unfounded accusations!
Sluts! Whores! Stone them!
Money grabbing whores!"
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Herman Cain.
"I value my character and my integrity more than anything else.
Really?
And for every one person that comes forward with a false accusation, there are thousands who would say none of that sort of activity ever came from Herman Cain."
Who would they be, and why would they know?
Wow. Didn't he also preemptively say something like that again yesterday? Like, if there's any, I'm sure there's going to be more of these, and they're all liars.
Yeah.
A whole lot of them.
Preemptively.
A whole lot of them.
And by the way, Mitt Romney proving once again he's a spineless weenie. Because when he wasn't, see, because the crowd was obviously on Herman Cain's side. And so he had earlier said this is serious, he needs to address it, and then like he just backs down.
Look, Herman Cain is the person to respond to these questions. Yeah. He just did. The people in this room and across the country could make their own assessment. I'm not going to.
Oh, it's time to move on now. Nothing more to see here. Okay, never mind now.
Right.
All right. So yeah, lots of new information on this all this Herman Cain stuff. It just gets it does get indeed betterer and betterer.
Mm-hmm.
So we will tell you all the latest on that. There is the word now is there is going to be a joint press conference with at least two of the women.
Yeah.
So I smell toastiness around the Rick Perry and the Herman Cain campaigns. I love toast.
I love toast.
29 minutes after
that's
the hour.
A golden oldie.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, you know what? If I'm not allowed to be snide, you're not allowed to be condescending.
How can we miss the Doobie Brothers if they won't go away?
Oh, what is the Stephanie Miller
Show? I've heard this song 10 million times since the 70s. Sorry.
34, it's
no,
all right. Sorry. Okay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. Comedian Carlos Alzrocki joins us live in studio next hour. Yay! Okay, so we've been talking about all the... It's hard to keep track of them. Don't you, when you get talking about the Herman Cain story, you're like, which women? Second? Fourth? Which?
Yeah.
No matter. They're all lying bitches. If there will be more accusations. I promised it. And I promise you, they're all lying money-grubbing bitches.
If he would write a book entitled, "They're All Lying Bitches."
I bet he will.
This is just, he said, of course, as you know, he didn't remember ever seeing, meeting, even ever, Sharon Bialik.
Except for that picture taken 2 weeks ago.
Did you see the picture? And it was even creepy, just the way he was even had his arm around. It was right under boob, you know what I'm saying? That kind of Like a little higher than waist? A little, yeah.
Hmm.
And a Chicago radio host told CNN Wednesday she saw Bialik approach Kane at a Tea Party event. This is like a month ago, which is exactly what Sharon Bialik said. And the pair engaged in a conversation. The account by Amy Jacobson of WIND in Chicago, first reported by the Chicago Sun-Times, corroborates Bialik's version of the October meeting. I went up to him and said, "Do you remember me?" said Bialik. He acknowledged that he remembered me from the foundation, but he kind of looked uncomfortable. And said nothing, blah, blah, blah. According to Jacobson, Bialik approached Kane and said hello. He smiled, and they briefly embraced, then stood talking together. It was more like she put her arm around him. She didn't corner him, but I can use the basketball term, boxed him out. Jacobson said she was unable to hear the conversation, which continued until an event organizer interrupted them. While unwilling to characterize the encounter, Jacobson said Kane looked stone-faced after his initial smile. There was a smile, then things got tense.
Wow.
I mean, oh, come on.
Was it the patented seven-second smile, or is it more of an uncomfortable grimace?
Meanwhile, the lawyer for one of the accusers told CNN that a possible joint news conference... Oh, dear. By all the women who have claimed sexual misbehavior by Kane, would lay out all the facts about what happened.
Man, bitches conference.
Joel Bennett, who represents a former association employee Karen Krushar, said that his client and Sharon Bialik have agreed to participate in an as yet unscheduled news conference to lay out all the facts. He said, given that all that has come out now, she really feels she has to give the details to make it clear her complaint is not baseless. Joel Bennett.
Given all that's come out now, she feels she really has to give the details to make it clear that her complaint was not baseless or a fabrication, as Mr. Kane has stated in his press conferences.
Yeah, and how disgusting, too. He called her a troubled woman.
Mm-hmm.
But really? You've never met her or heard of her?
Well, she's troubled after you groped her, yeah.
Yeah.
That would trouble anybody.
Yeah, she is literally a registered Republican who voted Republican in 2008, and he called it the Democrat machine.
Uh-huh.
It's fine.
Yeah. Nice try.
Yeah. Sharon Bialik.
I have had bankruptcy, and it was after the death of my mother to help my father pay for medical bills and a custody battle.
Well, if she died, it was her own fault.
I was saying yesterday, who hasn't had economic trouble in the past? You know, my best friend went bankrupt. I mean, it's like this is exactly why when women don't come out, because you have to be a perfect victim. Mm-hmm. You have to be and who's a perfect person? It's that doesn't disprove what she said. I mean, and then what's the other one? Krushar. She said, Kane is a serial denier. In her case, they're saying, because she made it. Is she a serial complainer? Because she had a workplace complaint. It was about something totally different. Yeah. It was about what the heck was it? Hang on. I'll get the words here. Oh, she lodged a workplace complaint about at her next employer, INS, right.
Mm-hmm.
She called it a minor incident, which she complained was not allowed to telecommute while recovering from a car accident, something a colleague was doing. So it's not like it was
completely
a sexual harassment. Yes, it was completely unrelated. Yeah. So you can't, in your whole history, employment history, have ever lodged a complaint about anything, or you have no credibility. Just really is incredible. By the way, she also told CNN that the height remark, like, you come up to here, obviously that was not the basis of her complaint.
No, right.
This is what these right-wing callers have been doing to this show. They pick out one thing. They go, these hysterical women. He just, said that. And she
According to him, that was the only thing.
Yeah, exactly. He just asked her to get him a cup of tea. It's like, no, that's not, what this is based on.
Get me a cup of tea with your mouth.
Yeah, they will stop at nothing here. Bialik said...
Let me stir it with my...
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She said the reason she came forward was the fact that her 13-year-old son encouraged her to. He said, "Mom, I think you need to do the right thing. I think you need to tell on him." That confirmed it for me. If my son is saying it, I want to be the role model for him and other kids growing up. And she said, I think I'm an MSNBC yesterday. I wouldn't be here if I was selling my story. I would have sold it. And then you only talk to that, the organization that pays for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's been... anyway.
That's what I said. Lying, money-grubbing bitch.
And then you heard Rush Limbaugh call the 13-year-old a brown shirt Nazi.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's what the president would like, as a nation of brown shirt tattletales.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So Joel Bennett, the attorney for Karen Krushar, has been in contract with Gloria Allred. So he said the press conference is a certainty, so we don't know when. I assume it would be shortly, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I
hope so.
By the way, she also pushed back about the idea she was doing it for money. Gloria Allred, they also talked about, they always say, she has political motivations. She pointed to a representation of Democrat Anthony Weiner's accuser. I mean, Gloria, whether you know what I mean, you agree with everything she does or not, it tends to be women's issues, whether, and she's right. She's been on, and somebody pointed out yesterday, she also represented Amber Fry, who sent, you know, a murderer to prison, Scott Peterson,
that's
in
right.
that case. So it's like, you can't just, that's the other thing, is they try to paint with that brush and go, oh, well, it doesn't, it has no credibility because it's Gloria Allred.
Right. Because it's a woman.
You know what? She's a damn fine lawyer.
Indeed she is. Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday.
The allegations are very serious that it's important for Mr. Payne to respond specifically to those allegations. But, you know, I think it really is an example of how troubling this field of Republican candidates for president really is.
Troubling.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Steve Ducey of Ducier and Ducier. Ducey and Ducier? Is that what John Fugelsang calls him?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. This crush hour had a history of problems at work.
Uh-huh.
So if you've, in your entire lifetime of work, if you've filed two complaints, that's a history of problems at work.
Yeah.
And one of them, like I say, was about an injury that she wanted to work from home. Like that was, anyway.
She's a troublemaker.
Uh-huh. He said Kane accused her had problems with maybe a serial complainer, and it had that famous Fox Chiron. A serial complainer?
Serial complainer.
All right, Alex in Albuquerque on the Herman Cain thing. Hello, Alex.
How are you doing today?
Good, go ahead.
Yes, I had a little joke I wanted to let you guys in.
Please.
It's not as good as the Mook jokes, but
no.
I mean, what was Herman Cain's plan back in the day, back in the 90s when he was a restaurant association head?
What's that?
69, 69, 69.
Hey, lady.
Because.
That's his new plan, denying.
Yay. Denying.
All right, thank you.
That's what I'll be doing.
Exactly. All right. Oh, God, I can't wait for that press conference.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that me that I just live from Republican debate to sexual harassment press conference? All right. Let's see. Oh, somebody sent me a... Yeah, I don't... This is from, what do you call it? Scott Walker?
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a new picture of him. Why does this guy always look so dopey? I don't know. He does. I've said before, he looks like someone hit him with a giant plank right before he goes on camera.
He's thick as two planks, as they say in Ireland.
Coming to you, Governor Walker.
Two planks.
In 3, 2... And then he's just a little shablank and a little cross-eyed.
Birdies flying around his head.
Yeah, little birdies, cartoon birds.
Yeah.
Mm. The headline is Scott Walker recall efforts, woohoo, gains momentum after union victory in Ohio. Democrats and union officials encouraged by voters' rejection, overwhelming rejection, please and thank you.
Yes.
They should just show a picture of Scott Walker with the bridge collapsing right next to him over and over and over again.
Yeah. Of an anti-union all Ohio, hope to channel that momentum and money into the next big fight, the effort to recall Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. They begin to collect the signatures next week for the recall. Unlike Ohio, Wisconsin law does not provide for a referendum vote on rejecting the collective bargaining law.
Mm.
So guess what? The referendum is on you, Wager. And then bye. Labor organizers who helped mobilize the Ohio vote already on the ground in Wisconsin. President of this Wisconsin State AFL-CIO said it shows that if people come together and work in solidarity and work in unity, they can overcome big money spent against them. That was the most hopeful thing I thought about Tuesday.
Yep.
Despite Citizens United, despite those Coke suckers. Ha ha! Coke brothers! Take that right in the snoot on Tuesday.
Snoot?
Yep.
Okay.
He said, I think we started to show that this summer in the Senate recalls, this is further proof that this is the model to be used. Mm-hmm. And where did that all start, Crystal Boy? Sexy liberal. That's the first money we gave
Medicine.
Was to the recall efforts. Thank you. I was just, and when we went there, I said, there's something unprecedented going on here.
Something brewing.
Yeah, and we're starting to see the results. Kasich responded to the issue two loss. He said, Ohioans clearly didn't like the tools we offered. No, you're the tool they don't like.
Yeah.
You're the tool.
Did you ever notice that your governor's an idiot?
Yeah, the defeat marks the first time a governor has seen signature legislation rejected within his or her first year of office. So
wow.
Nicely done. Well done. That's
well played, sir.
Well played. Kasich says he'll continue to work with local governments, warn them that there's no bailout coming because, though he continues to push corporate tax cuts, we have to be very careful with our money. He determined the rejection of Issue 2 merely reflected that people didn't like the tools we offered here.
Yeah. And you're the tool-in-chief.
You are the tool-in-chief.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We don't like what was offered. All right. So much more on all of this. The election results Tuesday and new polling on the president as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I want a man with a slow hand. I want a lover with an easy touch. I want somebody who will spend some time, not come and go in a heated rush.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 49.
About Herman Cain?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Just work on your technique. That's all. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, who could have seen that would go awry? Most chicks dig that. Let's go to Jason in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jason.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Moogs.
Hi.
You know, I keep hearing the same joke that Herman Cain's new plan is the 9 to 9 to 9.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair. It's really apples and orgies.
Wow. Jason with the tip in at the buzzer. Okay. All right, then. Let's.
I like the way you think.
Shelley in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, Steph, I'm coming to see you Saturday night, and I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yay! Me too.
I'm looking forward to seeing John and Hal and oops, I can't.
Who's the third one? Ah, you see what you did there, Shelley? All right, we'll see you Saturday.
That was good.
That was funny. Oh, we'll be doing different versions of the Rick. Oh, let's do it again. You can't. How do you top the actual comedy that's going on the Republican side?
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
Oh, five. Yeah, okay. So, five. Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's stop Kevin.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or? No, sir. No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
no
doubt about that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce. And let's see.
God.
I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
So U.S. Americans don't have access to maps in the Iraq?
And such as?
Also to as such as?
Governor Perry tried to save it with a joke today. He tweeted, really glad I wore my boots tonight because I stepped in it out there. No, okay, that's a good one. Hey, honey, look at this zinger I just let go on Twitter.
He has stepped in it during every debate. Not just this one.
That's why I got several pairs of boots.
We don't need that. For a president.
Oh,
sorry.
Boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, I think he's a bye-bye.
Except both my boots are right-footed.
he's like what's his name? Eugene Levy in Best in Show.
Yeah.
Except he literally has two right feet. All right. Hey, speaking of right-wing douche nozzles, did you see the video of Joe Walsh?
Oh.
I've always said that guy's a douche nozzle and a weed and also a stick.
But the Rocky Mountain way is better than the way we had.
Not that Joe Walsh.
Oh, okay.
No. He's always like that, right? He's always nasty on television. You see him. He's just a nasty, sneery little...
And he needs to pay his child support.
Yes.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, the Family Research Council just gave him Father of the Year Award.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Oh, boy. Okay, here he is screaming at his constituents.
Yeah.
What created this mess is your government, which has demanded for years that everybody be in a home. And we've made it as easy as possible for people to be in homes. All the marketplace does is respond to what the government does.
Mm.
The government sets the rules.
Don't blame
banks and don't blame the marketplace for the mess we're in right now.
That would be
the
Bush
administration. I am tired of hearing that crap.
So
I am tired of hearing that crap.
Fighting the situation, taking and throwing money out to people they know they couldn't
there
afford it.
There are already mechanisms in place. No, you know what? Because this pisses me off. I need more coffee. It's so decaf.
At their congressman.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't need to scream at me.
The government that did that was the Bush administration, and you should be crap.
That's the part I wasn't supposed to say.
God, too much coffee!
What a nasty little piece of work that man is.
Yeah, yes.
Where are my kids? I want to hit him.
Jim. I don't know
that.
Newsbusters, we apologize for...
we apologize for that.
Father of the
patient.
Year.
All right.
Sure. I'm sure he's just as patient with his kids.
It's a noted,
he's with his constituents.
Yeah. Noted deadbeat dad, Representative Joe Walsh.
Oh, boy. That part is true.
Yes, so we can say that.
All right. You know, we've been talking about this morning, whether it's Herman Cain or whoever. It's amazing how they just immediately become victims, don't they? They're just whiny victims. And I thought that liberals were the whiny victims. Hmm. Romney, whose net worth is $250 million, whines that he makes less than federal employees.
Which federal employees would that be, exactly?
Mm. Mitt Romney has desperately been trying to shed his image as an elite millionaire out of touch with the concerns of average Americans.
But he's an elite millionaire who's out of touch with the concerns of average Americans.
Perhaps you haven't noticed.
Maybe not tomorrow.
He's ditched his business wardrobe and now tries to look like a man of the people in jeans and plaid shirts.
Oh, that never goes over
well. Yeah, you've seen the hee-haw outfits he's been busting out lately?
No, it doesn't work.
Marcus Bachmann's
he has a crease down the middle of his the front of his jean legs.
Yeah.
That,
wow.
You just don't
know. No one irons their jeans.
No,
stop it. If you're trying to look regular, don't. Nobody does
no,
that.
No, nobody puts a crease in their jeans.
That's not a good look on anybody.
No.
Romney's also made some laughable claims trying to relate to voters, telling a group of unemployed people he's also unemployed. Get it?
Hilarious.
He's even complained that government employees now make more than he does, which I facing that on.
Maybe in Brunei.
Yes. And John McCain wants a corporate tax holiday so corporations can buy more yachts and corporate jets and all that. That's the most important problem facing America. A slew of multinational corporations joined by their allies in Congress have been pushing for an enactment of a tax repatriation holiday, which would allow companies that have stashed money overseas to bring it back to the U.S. at a tax rate far below the usual 35% corporate tax income tax rate. Senator McCain has proposed a plan under which corporations could repatriate at an 8.25% tax rate, which would be lowered to 5.25% if they use the money to create jobs. The problem with this plan is it's already been tried and it didn't work.
Yeah.
In 2004, as you'll recall, corporations used the money they brought back to enrich executives and buy back stock, not for job creation.
Huh.
In fact, the corporations that benefit the most from the tax break cut tens of thousands of jobs in the subsequent years, and companies push huge amounts of money offshore in anticipation of a future holiday. It doesn't sound very holiday-y to me.
Wow.
McCain said at a Reuters summit yesterday he's fine with giving corporations this big tax break so they can use it to buy yachts and jets. While he's technically correct that having corporations spend money on yachts is a stimulus in the truest sense of the word, but providing corporations with a huge tax break in the hopes they're going to purchase luxury goods is hardly the most efficient way.
It's not a guarantee that they will purchase luxury goods.
Yes. Yeah. At the same time, McCain is promoting his cockamamie idea, who, of course, has joined his party in blocking each and every portion of President Obama's Jobs Act that comes up in the Senate. The Joint Tax Committee has found that a repatriation holiday would add billions to the deficit, and the previous holiday shows there would be very little bang for the buck in terms of jobs. So, that's okay. More of the same.
He's just doing that for his wife.
What? So she can have another jet?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, she's the one with all the money in that relationship.
Sure. Okay. All right. By the Obama campaign holding up victories on Tuesday in a number of state and local elections is an illustration of the grassroots muscle in position to help the president in 2012. Ohio, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important state. Overwhelmingly rejected John Kasich's anti-worker bill. I missed this one in my mom's town. Charlotte Mayor Anthony Fox cruised to re-election. The Democrat was 67% of vote. I'll have to give her a little ring-ding and see how she feels about that. I'm sure she got out to vote for him. My 88-year-old Republican mom.
Uh-huh.
My goodness, Mom, the Republican took a thumping for mayor there. What happened?
Oh, dear,
Steffi, you've gotten so radical. All right, so we have, some celebrity stack with that. Have you seen that picture of Tom Cruise?
It's been making the rounds for a while.
Dance movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been working out for, looks like, a year.
Yes.
He's got those roidy arms.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll talk about all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. Why? Because Jim Ward is back all 3 hours on the Stephanie Miller Show, and My original voice man who introduced me to Jim Ward is here for all this hour.
That's good coffee.
I take it back, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos sells Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning.
Sells
I've
Rocky.
Got more energy than Joe Paterno after his last win.
Oh.
Now go to sleep. Get an education.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was stuck in a Whataburger drive-thru behind Rick Perry.
No!
I want three things. I want a hamburger. I want French fries.
Also,
what was that other one?
Yeah, imagine being in the drive-thru behind
president.
Him.
EPA. Yeah, EPA, that's good.
Decide on something and go.
Go.
All right. All right. So StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Let's see. Who is this? Heather writes, Stephan the Mooks. Listen to you guys every day. Even got the podcast. Sometimes it's hazardous when I'm trying to run. I about to fall down laughing.
Oh.
Yes, we've had some, exercise equipment-related injuries. So happy Jim is back all 3 hours. Love him.
Oh.
Boys.
Jim.
All right, and the Sexy Liberals off to Texas, Austin, Texas, this Saturday. Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang and I.
I want to tell you about Texas Liberal Radio and the big meat growth. It starts off with a sexy liberal show, slow and languid. And then it moves into something really, really kind of creepy and inappropriate. But, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
People, let me tell you about the sexy, the Austin, Texas sexy liberal show.
Woo-hoo!
Here we'll sing and howl sparks and Stephanie and jokes about Marty Austin, Stephanie Miller, sexy liberal show.
Yes, all right, thank you. Go to sexyliberal.com. A few tickets remaining for this Saturday. Oh, tomorrow I'll be traveling to Austin, and my own personal Jesus, John Fugelsang, will be in. Yeah. Comedy Jesus will be hosting the show tomorrow, Fridays with Fugelsang. And we got another hate letter. Hey, Jim, is he here?
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Because the Sexy Liberal Show is just making right-wingers' heads explode across the country. Just the name of the show, can't stand it.
No,
hate it.
There's no such thing as Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, Richard. His name is Richard. Subject line, sexy. There are two types of liberals. Those are the blind and those are the Marxists. So is it sexier to not know where you are or where you're going, or is it sexier to be a communist?
What?
Personally, I don't find stupidity sexy or even slightly attractive. Good Lord, the rod up that man's butt has a rod up its butt.
That didn't make any sense at all.
The rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
Yeah.
That's why there's no right-wing comedy tour.
That's right.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon was
that's
pretty
it.
Sexy.
That's what they got. Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it. Okay, and this one, Vito from Tonawanda, because Buffalo is up next after Austin, November 19th, Buffalo, New York, my mama's hometown. Steph, a few items before you return to Buffalo for the Sexy Liberal Show on the 19th. The powers, because I used to answer the phone at Yuck Yucks.
Oh, the comedy club.
It's my previous comedy experience. Yeah. The powers that be must have known you were returning to Buffalo because 12 years ago they knocked down Yuck Yucks and built a senior citizens high rise there. Perfect.
Haunted by the ghost
right
of desperate comedians.
There's somebody moving my clothes at night. Telling bad jokes.
It's the ghost of Stephanie Miller.
It's my wife, please.
Number two, when I went to the Palace Theater in Lockport, that's where I worked, the concession stand, the movie theater in high school.
Oh, that's sad.
Asked them if they ever heard of Stephanie Miller. The manager said, oh, yeah, that's the broad who ate so much popcorn. Now it's against the rules to eat anything while we work.
Ah.
Yeah, I eat my weight in popcorn every night. Number three, Shea's Buffalo, that's where we're performing, was the beginning of Jerry Lewis's career. His parents were vaudevillians. His first act was lip-syncing the favorite songs of the day. I think I may steal that. Although women aren't funny, according to him. But I may. All right. Finally, as great as all the audiences have been so far for Sexy Liberal, thousands of people who grew up in the same proximity as Stephanie and drank the same water should make for a truly warped experience. Vito from Tonawanda, yes. Mysteries of God. All right. So lots to get to. Did you watch the big debate?
I did. And they started booing the questioner that was asking Herman Cain of accusations. You know, I was thinking about this last night. In all seriousness, how messed up is this country when you can, you can ask about the president's citizenship and nobody's indignant. Nobody's beside themselves that you're questioning the president about where he's born and putting the burden of proof on him.
Right.
And then four accusers come by, probably there's going to be more, asking Herman Cain about his sexual... How dare you ask Herman Cain about sexual harassment when four women have come forward telling their stories? Now, it's okay to ask the president about his citizenship, but Herman Cain,
what?
Do you know he runs Godfather's Pizza?
Why, that's a high-tech lynching.
I may not have the facts to back this up, but I was at a Chinese restaurant, and they have these little cookies with fortunes inside, and they're called fortune cookies. And I just discovered this yesterday. Herman?
This is
Herman?
That moment last night.
In recent days, we have learned that four different women have accused you of inappropriate behavior. Here we're focusing on character and on judgment. You've been a CEO.
Yes.
You know that shareholders are reluctant to hire a CEO where there are character issues. Why should the American people hire a president if they feel there are character issues?
The American people deserve better than someone being tried in a court of public opinion based on unfounded accusations. That's what
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, didn't the news break by then, Chris? So why didn't she ask him? By the way, there's a picture of you with this woman, and the reporters, you know, corroborated her story that she talked to him.
That's an unfounded photographic observation.
That is
the woman he's never seen or met.
I am the dead ghost of Johnny Cochran. Come back again. If you command it, they will demand it. If the condom doesn't fit,
right,
you must acquit.
You must acquit, exactly. Thank
I want to introduce you. Let's face it. Clinton was probably consensual sex. We all know that. But there's probably a couple of women that he was like, hey, man, hey, you want to do this? But he was smooth. You got to have lines.
Yeah.
Cain was probably like, I want to introduce you to my 999 plan. 9 biscuits, 9 legs, and 9 inches. See?
Oh,
and that just doesn't fly with the...
Is this thing on? I'm sorry. That was a terrible... I apologize. Let me do Billy Crystal for just a second to smooth things over. I apologize. That was rotten. Back to the show.
With my one eye! My one eye!
So... Meanwhile, can you believe Rick Perry stole the spotlight? We thought it was going to be all the hurricane, and then that was like... Actually, people are saying it is the most cringeworthy moment in a presidential, primary.
Play. Let's play it.
And I will tell you,
it's
three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there?
Let's see.
Five. Okay. So, commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Let's talk to everything.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the... agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt. There's
but you
no
can't,
doubt about
but you
that.
Can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
Awesome.
U.S. Americans from Utah, right?
Such as the South Africa.
Such as.
And
they were all trying to help. They were all...
Not Herman. Herman was like, you mother son of a... Put your... Leak that...
Yeah.
Mother.
I like it now. And N-word head ranch.
Yeah. N-word ranch.
Leaking this...
The three agencies are...
story.
Commerce, education, and Godfather's Pizza. No offense, Herman.
Yeah. That was just wow. Dan in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Oops. Hey, I just had an incredible epiphany. Man, this thing is backing back up for Sarah. It's being set up.
For Palin to get in. It looked like the smartest one there. Yeah.
She comes back with the populist crony capitalism. You take that mean girl, take those mean girl lines out of her mouth and get her to go center right and run against the Wall Street Romney. It's a cakewalk, guys.
Yeah.
Think
Could
about
be.
That.
Yeah.
Cakewalk, right?
Yeah. Has this all been orchestrated for them all to implode just for her to get back in?
Like, for instance, you know what scared me? To me, if Michelle Bachmann didn't have, like, they put lines in her mouth, right? They put these crazy ones, and then, of course, her husband, Marcus, that's another thing. But if you just gave her regular politician lines, not all this crazy stuff, she would have been dangerous. But
yeah.
They kept making her, say all this whacked out stuff.
Yeah.
So I think Sarah would be, powerful right now with Perry imploding and the Godfather.
Yep. One can only hope comedy-wise, but didn't you love, too, that he got it like a half an hour later? I got it!
All right, I remember. You know what? I got now.
It'll all be coached by Monty Burns from The Simpsons.
Saved? All right, debate contestants. Repeat after me. Job creators? Yes. Class warfare?
Excellent.
999. Excellent. Now go out and debate. No, what did he say again?
I want to take back two agencies of government. The first one is... hey, Homer!
Okay, thank you. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Becky, look at her butt. It is so big. They only talk to her.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour in the midst of coffee with Carlos. Oh, I forgot. Some of the proceeds of Sexy Liberal in Austin are going to the Texas Freedom Network, an organization devoted to fighting the influence of the religious right in Texas.
The onslaught. Hey, Stephanie, can I borrow that carbonite for my next debate? I need to back up some things.
Some information. Three things I should have backed up.
Rick Perry hosting, presenting at the Oscars. The nominees for Best Actress, there's three of them. Ron Paul going, there's five. There's five. What's her face?
Who's that thing?
The girl with big
guy
boobs.
That time.
And that lady with the
he looked
the
like
thing.
He just wanted to disappear inside giant Ron Paul's giant cartoon suit. Steve in New York, here on the Stephanie Miller Show on Herman Cain. Hello, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes,
I just wanted to say I'm a little bit disappointed. Obviously, you guys have a right to hammer Mr. Cain for his alleged sexual prowess. But
prowess.
what disturbs me is that you give Bill Clinton a free pass.
I didn't. Did you just hear me?
Nobody gave Bill Clinton a free pass.
Nobody gave Bill Clinton a free pass.
No, I think so.
And that was consensual.
It was consensual.
But still, what he did was wrong, and I think you ought to treat them both the same.
But you won't treat them the same. That's the point.
I never hear you. Here's another name that has also gotten a free pass.
This is fifth ground playground logic. They did it first. You guys did it first, so it's okay for us to do it. That's what are you, in fifth grade? Come on. Try harder.
How about this name, the great Ted Kennedy? I never hear you.
Oh, that's a good idea, because he's dead. So let's talk about that, because that's so current and relevant.
And we it doesn't matter whether he's dead.
And nobody's made more Anthony Weiner jokes than me, Steve. That's this right. is not, you know, it's not about party. This is, are you kidding me? This is how many women now? Is this five? And it corroborated by, you know, a right-wing radio host, a Republican pollster. I mean,
aren't all these women Tea Party women, too?
Yes,
right?
And
Ted
Kennedy did not get the presidency of the United States, in large part because of Chappaquiddick.
Absolutely.
So.
And why don't you call Rick Perry for leaking it? Why don't you call him? Call his office.
But you're right, that is eighth grade. Well, I know you are, but how about people 4 to 7 years ago that did what?
You know what? I want somebody to make this video, please, when he freaking Herman Cain did his patent conference with his flags behind him. Just play Joe Wilson underneath it. You lie! You lie! You have my permission to make that. Put that on Facebook.
Oh, my God. Okay, have you seen this picture of Tom Cruise? This is...
Sorry.
Tom Cruise.
He looks like Fabio, actually.
Tom Cruise sang and danced 10 hours a day to prepare for his role in Rock of Ages. He discovered a hidden reservoir of musical theatrical joy deep within him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hidden.
Freddie Mercury.
I started dancing because I was inspired by my wife.
Right. Mm.
She kept saying, you've got to do a musical sometime. Kate's a dancer, so she would say, let's go to dance class. And she would take us, and that's how I kind of came up with the idea. And then to take it to this level was really fun. It was super.
It was super.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for asking.
Super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me.
Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look you in this hat?
Well, you don't talk about other guys. Does musicals
yeah.
stuff.
Why would
there's you, a, there's gay
yeah.
people.
You didn't. I hit you.
Democrats.
You threw the kickball at me first. So I'm. Yeah.
Shove
come on.
I win.
Shove you into the lockers.
You lie.
Okay.
You lie, Herman Cain. You lie. How about that?
Have you seen there's the family folks are at it again? Parents Television Council. They're the stereo over Glee. Glee stars aren't doing damage control for a Tuesday night's episode featuring two couples losing their virginity, a gay couple and a straight couple. The Parents Television Council.
Was Tinky Winky involved?
No. Mm. Because they're in high school.
Uh-oh.
And as you know, nothing like that ever happens in high school.
Innocent people learning about the birds and the bees and all God's children.
All right. Oh, by the way, Eddie Murphy no longer hosting the Oscars because his friend Brett Ratner bowed out after using a gay slur.
Rehearsal today. Is for...
I don't think you can put the Oscars on
phonies.
Without gay people, can you? I don't
no.
think it's a good idea to have offended the gay community in Hollywood.
No.
Just, where are all the people? Okay, never mind.
No, if you played the gay drinking game, you'd be sloshed by the first 15 minutes. Gay, drink. Gay, drink.
All right. Oh, dear.
But that's why show business is better these days.
We've been talking about this Joe Paterno thing is really, yes, awful. The superficial saying Joe Paterno is retiring now. After early reports tip Penn State's hand revealed they were planning to remove Joe Paterno over his piss-poor handling of former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky systematically sodomizing 10-year-old boys using the university's facilities and the charity as a smokescreen. The once legendary coach announced his retirement because now's the time to do the honorable thing, apparently.
Then late last night, they fired him and got rid of the president of the university as well, and the Penn State students started rioting.
Yeah. Now, where's the Fox and Fools indignation at the crowd that's gathering?
They're rioting in favor of child rape? Or
what
is that about?
In favor of silence over child rape.
Exactly. So, Occupy Wall Street people are a bunch of thugs, but these students rallying for somebody who turned his head when a kid got raped in the shower,
that's
completely
okay. This was 10 years ago, and
all
he did is tell his supervisor. He didn't call the police. He didn't, I mean, that's just...
The real problem in this country is gay people getting married.
That's right.
That's shocking.
Here's the deal. Listen, when your coach is eating pudding and soup at the team pregame dinners, he's time to go anyways.
Joe Paterno, I didn't...
They let him play. They let him get his last game so he could be the winningest coach of all time, and then they fired him.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Brad Sherman next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a working knowledge of the entire universe and everything it contains.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Coffee with Carlos Elsrocky. We're doing the backstroke in it. And now Jim's congressman joins us, Representative Brad Sherman. Hello, good morning, Congressman.
Good to be with you, Stephanie.
Thanks for joining us as usual. Now, Congressman, I've talked to obviously some of your colleagues about the jobs bill, and what is the end game here? I'm not sure. I mean, clearly it's always the same story, right? We get no cooperation at all on the other side. I mean, in your opinion, is any part of this going to pass?
There is a small part that deals with tax credits for hiring returned veterans who've been unemployed for a long period of time.
Right.
That part will pass. I can't tell you anything else is going to pass. In a European system, we would have triggered new elections a long time ago. America's going to have a long wait for a little less than a year until the country gives us some direction.
Well, Congressman, weren't you encouraged by Tuesday? Because I know I was. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we've been talking about. My friend Jim here says Operation Backlash. You know, I mean, we've been talking about this Republican overreach, and this is the first concrete evidence of pushback, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And if you had to pick a state where you'd like to be successful, Ohio's pretty high on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I mean, and not just in Ohio. I mean, it seems like Republicans got repudiated in an awful lot of places. And as we always say, politics is cyclical. You know, everybody wrote the story in the midterms, and look at how, you know, how what a short amount of time it's been for there to be a you know, another cycle, right?
Yep. I can't wait for 2012. Hopefully we can elect a Democratic Congress, re-elect a Democratic president.
Yeah.
Even then, we have to get rid of the filibuster. I think we need to pressure even Democratic senators to vote on the first day of 2013 that the Senate adopts rules by majority vote.
Well, that's what I've been saying, whether it's these Occupy movements or whatever. I mean, you know, if you want to accomplish those goals of the 99%, you're exactly right. You have to put in more Democrats, not less. You have to put in people that will not only have a Dodd-Frank in place, but strengthen it, right, instead of it down.
Senator Sanders and I will be introducing a bill that just says too big to fail is too big to exist. Break them up.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly right. What else did you take from Tuesday? I mean, obviously, I think, you know, I've been talking to a number of labor leaders, and they're saying, you know, this is the best thing in some ways that could have happened. This has reinvigorated the labor movement. Instead of killing it, as the Republicans had hoped, it really has reinvigorated it. I mean, in Wisconsin now, I'm really hearing a lot of motivation, a lot of enthusiasm for getting Scott Walker recalled.
Good thing. On the other hand, we had a loss for the labor movement when we passed those three so-called free trade agreements. So it's not been an entirely good fall, but it's hard to take away from the joy of last year.
Well, and I think certainly the worst news for us is the strength of the Republican presidential field, don't you? That was a joke. That's a joke, son.
I swear that's a joke, son.
The president of Brazil says that God must be a Brazilian. If you look at the field of Republican presidential candidates, you come away with the idea that God's a Democrat.
Yeah. What did you watch the debate last night? It is really hard to tell how this is going to shake out, isn't it?
I think it's Romney's to lose just because, gee whiz, the others have all made such enormous mistakes. Whereas Romney never makes a mistake without having also done the opposite.
Right. Yes, exactly. So, yeah.
It's hard to say he's completely wrong about anything.
Yeah.
If you're at the poker table, I fold. I fold again. I fold. I fold again.
On the other hand.
Yeah. And Congressman, you know, it really is interesting, you know, those of us that lived through the whole Clinton years, is to watch this Herman Cain thing. I mean, you know, it is relevant, isn't it? I mean, it's stunning to me, this whole, you know, blame, what they're doing to all of these women.
Yes, and I think that Cain's respect for women was shown by his comment about Gloria Allred. I mean, it's hard to say all these women are lying. It's it looks more like a pattern of more than lack of respect. It looks like a pattern of harassment. But I think that Cain's main role in this race is to make it more difficult for Perry to capture the right, and I see him as helping Romney.
Well, and Representative Sherman, I think what's more important even than individuals like Herman Cain, it's, you know, their stance on women, if, you know, issues that affect women. I mean, you look at what happened in Mississippi even. You know, all of these, you know, anti-choice activists thought this was the place to fight this, and they were overwhelmingly repudiated with this personhood vote.
No, people looked at the implications, and even in Mississippi, they voted against the extreme so-called pro-life or anti-choice movement. It was a good Tuesday, and we need another good Tuesday exactly a year from now.
Yeah, exactly. Representative Brad Sherman, Jim Ward will be sending you that list of potholes.
Yeah, there's a pothole at Burbank and Woodman. I want you to get out there with a shovel and some gravel.
Oh, it's our little running joke with you, Representative. All right, Representative Brad Sherman of the great state of California. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes.
In case people are wondering what I do on the internet, in the breaks here, it's not what you think.
No, I know.
I'm looking at pictures of Nazi submarine commanders. One of them is a dead ringer for Paul Ryan. Ah. It's creepy.
Awesome.
Oh. Reincarnation.
And I'm looking at the slideshow that Tucker Carlson's Daily Caller put up of turtles that look like Mitch McConnell.
Oh, that's great.
Steely McSteelersons, that's our bit. Cliff in Miami on Rick Perry. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mook.
Hello.
Hey, I'm real excited about you guys coming to Fort Lauderdale in 4 weeks.
Woohoo! Yeah, yeah. Oh, you
I got
know
my
what?
Ticket.
Oh, good. Awesome. Yeah, December 10th, they released just a very few more that they had been holding the venue. So get it. SexyLiberal.com. All right, go ahead, Cliff.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, I started a Facebook page, South Florida Sexy Liberals, to get Stephanie Miller back on the air in South Florida.
Awesome. Well, what a fine American you are, sir.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But I figured out what happened to Rick Perry.
What's that?
He was buffering.
Ah, he was buffering. It was just that little, you know, that little spinny thing. Hey, I'm thinking. Spinny. All right, you kids, stop watching the internet and get over here and do the show.
What?
Oh, my God, it's like working with eighth-grade boys.
They're exchanging pictures on their computer screens.
That
look
like Mitch McConnell.
All right. Listen, it's no cats who look like Hitler.com. Let's not get distracted.
I started that meme, so. Yeah.
All right.
Cats who sound like Carlos Alazraki.
And the quadruple cats, can you?
Double kitty.
Oh,
he one-upped me.
No.
Double kitty.
That's we did creepy pet cemetery cats.
Yeah. Right. See us live on stage in vaudeville.
Okay, please. The president, he's nixing federal swag.
Yeah.
What?
We thought that it was entirely appropriate for our governments and our agencies to try to root out waste, large and small, in a systematic way.
He needs to come to Hollywood and sign an anti-swag order,
yeah.
The president yesterday.
The joint committee on trying to reduce our deficits are engaged in a very difficult conversation right now, and we want to encourage them to complete their work. But in the meantime, we don't need to wait for Congress in order to do something about wasteful spending that's out there.
Yeah, all right. I'm just saying, can he do something about getting rid of swag bags out here? Cause it's annoying that only really rich celebrities that don't need them are the only one that get free stuff out
exactly.
here. Okay. All right. President Obama's foreign policy approval numbers are rising. Let's see. 63% approve of his foreign policy. Oh, dear God. Can you imagine Rick Perry as president? I bombed three countries last night. I can't remember.
We're flying over that one country.
You know, next to that place with the thing.
There's a desert there.
And there's some water
nearby. They got dark-skinned people.
And I think there's some mountains.
They're, Herman, which one is it?
As back as this is
Let's pause for a moment to think about President Perry and Vice President Kane.
We'll drop hot cheese on them.
My God.
My God, all right. Pizza cheese.
And now,
radioactive twisty bread.
One of our favorite segments, guys that get stuff stuck up their butt.
Oh, no.
Well, not since the vicar that fell on a potato
while
he was hanging.
Slipped on a grape in the kitchen.
Curtains in the nude.
Yeah.
Have we, a man, this one from Gawker, a man gets cannon shell stuck up his butt. A 50-year-old Croatian man had to seek medical attention, one would think, after an explosive anti-aircraft shell that he'd inserted in his anus during some kind of sex game.
Aren't those,
stuck up there.
Really big?
One would think, yes.
Like,
yes.
Wow.
Well,
now
yeah.
He might have to go to jail because it is apparently illegal to have a
explosive
aircraft
in your rectum.
Wow.
Yes.
Probably with good reason. I think that
was. I was trying to get rid of kidney stone. I was trying to go from the other side. What is wrong with this?
Gawker writing, now, next time he needs to inspect his weapons more thoroughly to make sure they're acceptable for household use.
Wow.
That's for aircraft, not up your ass. No. Okay, and...
Ready, drop the bomb. Where is the bomb? Cut to...
Sorry.
All right.
Oh. Sorry.
This is going to cause Jim to do another edition of America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps, but it's a college streaker falls on penis.
What?
John, a streaker. Yeah. John Seelinger streaked at University of Southern Mississippi football game last week, and the worst thing that could happen during a streaking event occurred. He fell down on his...
Well, was it
his penis?
Tumescent at the time?
Was it
glow sticky?
I don't know.
Turgid?
What is it, the glow stick position?
Because if it were, you know, in the off position, it's no big deal.
Oh, I see. Yes, I guess it. Gawker writing, is there any graceful way to recover after falling on your penis in front of everyone? I'm going with no.
Computer says no.
No, I don't think so.
Unless they were strategically placed.
Well,
never mind.
But if it were, wouldn't it just be like a kickstand if he were... You know what I'm saying?
No.
It would break.
No. Oh, it would break. I see.
Yeah.
He could break dance on it. Is he spitting on his... Why?
All right. All right. I think let's pause and contemplate that. 45 minutes after the hour, right back. More Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it. We will rock you.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. I can't risk losing my important computer files. I have Carbonite Online Backup. It automatically backs up your computer files whenever you are connected to the Internet. Could not be easier. Go to Carbonite.com today. Type in my offer code Stephanie for a free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. We are having coffee with Carlos Alzerati.
Thanks for playing the gay Persian anthem sung by millions of over-heterosexual testosterone-filled idiots at football games.
Yes. What? That guy was gay! Stop singing!
I find it wonderfully ironic.
With Dr. Brian May on guitar there. He's a doctor of astrophysics or something like that?
Yeah,
he's
got a PhD. He's a liberal.
We are heading to Austin, Texas on Saturday. John Fuglesang, my personal comedy Jesus, in for me tomorrow. By the way, where football is a religion, as you know. Gary writes, traveling from Honolulu to Austin to see you and the boys.
Wow.
I've been looking for a good excuse to visit friends in Austin. I'm one of those crazy liberal nurses believes everyone should have quality health care. Whatever.
Tommy.
My Austin friends are also nurses, so if your hips or any other body parts fail during the show, we will be front and center ready to take care of you. Thank you for that, Gary. I appreciate that. That may be necessary.
The Gaylord Focker on you.
Yes. Yeah. Chris, the source of all evil is?
Facebook.
Yeah, I think so. That's why kids are stupid. There's a Pew Research Center where 69% of kids aged 12 to 17 think people are mostly kind on social networks.
Oh, really?
What?
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
I like this.
They say the biggest source of bullying by far was in-person encounters. Still the old-fashioned way.
Well, you can't really beat someone up on Facebook.
You can verbally assault them and crush their dreams.
And you can do it anonymously.
That's true.
Yes.
You can hit and run.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like when you say stuff in your car here in L.A. to other people you wouldn't say if you rolled the window down.
Right. Now Herman Cain's thinking, now wait a minute, Facebook, huh?
Wait a minute now.
That's the way to do it.
And I guess I'm on Facebook.
Technically, I have never met this woman in person.
That's how you do it.
Although, watch the
money
pictures that Wiener sent. Don't send pictures of your Wiener.
All right. You know, all the attention has been on horribly unpopular Governor John Kasich, who got faced. Hey, no, I on Tuesday.
And a governor who's an idiot.
Scott Wanker, who is about to get recalled. In Wisconsin, we have forgotten the most unpopular governor in the country, Rick Scott in Florida, where we're going December 10th for Sexy Liberal. The Gawker writes a great piece of Florida's anthropology-hating android governor Rick Scott, who is not cool in any way, recently stopped by the port of Miami to hang out on a cruise ship and pretend to do somebody else's job for a few minutes. Rick Scott creates jobs for Rick Scott. During his visit, Scott briefly explored the DJ life, which means that he put on some headphones, snapped his fingers, looked confused, and clapped his hands to I Will Survive. Well, for his efforts, he earned a DJ nickname, DJ Gubby Gov.
Oh, my God.
Is the fifth outing on his Let's Get to Work tour, an odyssey during which he stood behind a donut counter, gutted fish for seafood cakes. I've never had to cut the eyeballs out of a fish before. Oh. It's one of his famous quotes. And served nutritious breakfast to elementary school children. Aside from DJing, he spent his time at the port wearing a hard hat and a safety vest and looking at big machines. Then he went back to Tallahassee to resume his daily duties of inspiring expensive litigation and not creating jobs. Thank you, Gawker, for that report on what Rick Scott is up to. A lot of photo ops.
At least you should send those eyeballs to retirees who've lost their pensions.
Sure, they'd have something healthcare. To eat. Yeah, exactly. Along with their eye sockets and holes, cat food. All right. This is another one. I love Gawker. I don't know why. Straight rugby player suffers stroke, wakes up flaming homosexual.
Wow.
Oh, drat those strokes.
Don't know. Chris Birch was a big, tough Welsh rugby player who was engaged to a woman, loved nothing more than sports. Then one day he had an accident while trying to do a backflip, broke his neck, had a stroke. He woke up and was gay. Apparently... Gawker saying the accident kicked loose some fairy dust somewhere deep in his subconscious, and he woke up not just gay, but entirely flaming.
Well, maybe the Bachman should try that therapy. Now, what we need you to do is a front flip.
Yeah.
And ungay yourself with a front flip.
Go back to sleep and see if you wake up.
He ended up getting a hairdresser.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So he's not paralyzed.
He quit his job.
Just gay.
Went back to school, became a hairdresser, dumped his girlfriend.
Could have been a lot worse.
Dating a 19-year-old guy. All right.
I suspect there may be a little bit of gay on him before.
He said, I started to take pride in my appearance. Bleached my hair and started working out.
Oh, wow. Was that the only thing he bleached?
Don't put your straight hair in a second.
Jim Louise.
Hey, don't put your boys in tumbling.
I'll
avoid tumbling.
For you.
There'll be no tumbling in PE. I don't want them to turn into gays.
You know, getting caught for drunk driving is one thing. Drunk driving in reverse, you have to hand it New York City's top librarian, Dr. Anthony Marks, president of the New York Public Library. Threw his Audi registered to the library in reverse, floored it, slammed into a garbage truck on East 138th. Yikes, cops arrived on the scene, noticed Marks had been hitting the Doer's decimal system pretty hard. Scocker. He blew twice
the... That's my favorite decimal system.
He blew twice the legal limit. Keep in mind, Gawker saying, keep in mind this is at 3 p.m. What the hell kind of five martini librarian lunches are our tax dollars funding anyway? All right.
Doer's decimal system.
And here's a drinking and drive-through story. That's totally different. Beer girl, part of a drive-through brawl. I love a good drive-through brawl, don't you?
Yeah. That's hard to do, actually.
Yeah. A brawl involving costumed combatants at the drive-through of a Western Pennsylvania fast food restaurant has charges against one person. More could be coming. Police say the fight broke out early Sunday morning outside of McDonald's. The dispute started when one driver yelled the other one was taking too long during the confrontation. Police say a woman dressed as a beer garden.
As a beer garden?
I guess. Hit another woman with a high-heeled boot.
Wow.
Who's Condi Rice?
Please pull forward to the second window to brawl, please. Play it the first one, and the brawl at the second one. It's not the person that's taking too long. It's the people inside that are taking too long.
And there will be more if Carlos is right. Someone gets stuck behind Rick Perry.
That's right.
The Whataburger driver.
I'll take a... It's a shake. It's not vanilla. It's that other one. Looks like Herman Cain's.
I want three things. Want to order three things?
Coffee? No, that's not.
Cocoa. Boo.
Go!
Okay, sorry about that. There was three things I wanted.
All right, I know. We have to hear it one more time before we go because, you know, it may be the last.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
Okay. So commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, okay.
Talking about
her? No, sir. We're talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But
there's
no
doubt about that.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see.
U.S. America.
I can't.
The
third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
The rest of the candidates stood by like Joe Paterno after he heard that a boy had been raped in the shower.
Watched it happen. Watched the tragedy unfold. Nothing.
Idiots in Penn State rioting over this.
CarlosElsRocky.com, right?
Oh, I'll be at the Fake Gallery this Friday night with Dana Gould, Laura Keitlinger, Eddie Pepitone, Margaret Cho, and Bill Dwyer. It's a great show. The Fake Gallery, Melrose at Heliotrope. I think it's 4319. It might be 4913, but it's the Fake Gallery on Melrose.
In Los Angeles.
And in Tampa, November 30th at the University of Tampa.
SexyLiberal.com for all our shows. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.